after the Gopher bye week, it's been a little while, but we finally welcome on Mike Grimm once again, voice of the Gophers, the Learfield Radio Sports Network. Mike, how the heck you doing? A pleasure to be with you this morning. How you been, man?
Yeah, doing great. Good bye week. You know, it was. It's always good to have a little bit of you know, something else to do in the middle of a season. So I got out of town for a few days, and of course watched another football game, Jake. I wouldn't, you know, what else would you do? I've a buddy from Lakeville, and I live in Lakeville. We have made a tradition during the Gopher bye week to pick out a game. We usually pick it out in April, and obviously we know the date because it's the bye week, and we try to pick out what we think might be the best game with the best trip and what other things you can do and all that stuff. So we, for the third straight year, Jake, have been able to attend a game where the home fans stormed the field when it was done. So we picked well. We were at Alabama, Tennessee this week. In Tennessee, Tennessee won the game, so their fans stormed the field. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were at Washington hosting Oregon. Oregon had a field goal attempt late that would have sent it to overtime that missed at the buzzer, and Washington fans stormed the field. And then the year before that, 3 years ago, or I guess it would be 2 years ago, three seasons ago, we were at Texas A&M beating Alabama. So Alabama doesn't want us to show up.
And, the kiss of death.
And I'm feeling like I'm going to put myself up for bid for next year's bye week to see which school wants to host us, because we seem to be good luck for the home team.
Love to hear it, Mike. Well, it's a pleasure to have you back on. Why don't we talk some Gopher football here, fresh off the bye week. Obviously, you had a bye week as well. Don't think about the broadcasters as much as the players and coaches, but what have you heard? What was the focus over the bye week, and how's the team feeling after getting the week off?
Yeah, I think it was a typical bye week where, you know, you hope that everyone gets rested. You hope there's some refreshment, some recuperation from injury. And then it sounds like what they really did was a lot of self-scouting. I think that's not uncommon on the bye week, where you go in and take a look at some of what you're doing. Scout yourself, make sure you're not doing, get away from tendencies and different things. Find out what you're doing well, find out what you're not. And then they dove into Maryland prep a day early, I think, and started that on Sunday. So usually that prep starts on Monday. They'll put they'll play on Saturday. The Sunday get together is mostly to recap the Saturday game, but they didn't have any game to recap per se. So they they got a little extra day of prep, and of course Maryland had a game, so maybe there's an advantage there. But it's all the old cliche, rust or rest, which is better, right? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be rusty, or is being rested better? And we'll find out Saturday at home when Maryland comes to town.
This team, it feels like they're getting better and better week to week. This Gopher offense particularly. I think the defense outside of that Iowa second half has been solid throughout the entire season. But the offense is slowly getting better and better. Now we're at the bye week. We have the conclusion of the season on the horizon. You still got a couple of big games. Penn State, Wisconsin, even Maryland this Saturday for homecoming. Halfway through the season, Mike, what do you think this team's offensive identity is? And do you think it's solidified?
Yeah, I do. I think that has been part of maybe why they haven't scored as many points as what you had hoped. And even their last game, they weren't very good in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, they were shut out at UCLA, and they just kind of sputtered. And then the defense gave them a couple of short fields, and they kicked it into high gear. And then one thing they've done is they made some clutch plays in the fourth quarter, really in each of their last three games. When you go all the way back to Michigan, they had a huge fourth quarter at Michigan as well. So, you know, three straight games where they've closed the game well. And why that is, maybe, you know, with their quarterback as a senior, they've been able to have a guy make good decisions in the fourth quarter and understand the situations and do some good things. He mentioned, he being the quarterback, Max Brosmer, yesterday mentioned they would like to get off to some better starts. They haven't been very good in the first quarter this season. and they have scored on their first drive a couple of times, but they've been fumbles. They haven't, you know, punched one in for a touchdown yet on the opening drive. And as we mentioned last week, they were shut out in the first quarter. So, but to answer your question with the identity, I think they've kind of hit on it. It took them a minute to figure out when you were such a run-heavy team for so long. You know, my guess is that even with the coaches, they're trying to figure out, all right, what's the play call here? Mm-hmm. You know, this is normally Mo Ibrahim time. This is Rodney Smith time, you know. And second and four now has not necessarily been the automatic handoff that it has been. And so I think it took a minute, but I think, and that said, I don't think they're a run-and-shoot type offense. Mm-hmm. You know, they're only averaging, I think, 25 points. They don't run a hurry-up very often, so they're not running a lot of plays. I think that's one of the other things, is they still take a lot of time on their drives to, you know, try to keep that time of possession in their favor, those kind of things. But personally, I'd like to see them increase the tempo. I don't like mm-hmm. that they make them wait so long. Some of these pre-snap penalties that have kind of bitten the offensive line, I got to believe that just being in a crouch for, you know, 25 seconds waiting for the quarterback to watch the play clock wind down has to be part of it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, those are big people trying to stay still for that long. So, you know, there's some things certainly they can work on, and nothing's perfect. But I do think they've become, and again, they're not a run and shoot. They don't take a lot of throws way downfield. So I would call their identity kind of a controlled passing game, mm-hmm. Where they're manipulating, trying to drive the football, you know, with the idea that the short passing game can help. He's throwing for almost 70% completion. I think it's like 66%. And when you're around that number, the short passing game can work. And then you got to pick your spots to go deep. But that's kind of how I'd say it. They're not a running team. I mean, they're not a handoff first team. They're throwing the ball much more. And so that's, I guess I'd call it a controlled passing game is kind of where I would, you know, label it.
4-3. But if you look at it, and by the way, we're speaking with Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, one kick in North Carolina and maybe one or two plays in Michigan, and this team could be 6-1. Where do you rank Minnesota in this long list of Big Ten teams halfway through this season? You know, how good do you think Minnesota is right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. On the flip side, you know, they could have lost USC. They could have lost UCLA.
Yeah.
You know, so they've had some tight wins as well. So I think they're probably about where they should be. I do think that North Carolina game is one that stings, because they're a better team than North Carolina. I think you can look and say, look, Iowa, are they better? Are they, you know, two touchdowns better? I don't think so. But look, they were better that night. And I think you can look and say the Michigan game was one of those that they made too many mistakes. But the North Carolina game, that was a game I thought they outplayed North Carolina. The defense was great. And they missed a couple of field goals from a Big Ten kicker of the year. And look, if this comes down to it, if they stub their toe here a couple of times and they're trying to figure out bowl pecking order, frankly, even getting to bowl eligibility, they still need two wins, right? And mm-hmm. when you look at the schedule, they'll be favored in probably two more games, maybe three. So that game could really pinch them in terms of bowl pecking order. And if things go sideways here, even just making a bowl game, you know, if things go sideways. Now, to answer the question, I think they're just kind of in the middle of the pack with everybody else, and that's not a terrible place.
No.
I mean, in this new Big Ten, you know, there are going to be some haves and have-nots, and you're trying to stay out of the have-nots. And I think right now they're playing themselves, you know, into the middle class, I guess, and that's a better place than the bottom. Mm-hmm. And you look at the standings. I mean, Michigan's 4-3, Minnesota's 4-3, Iowa's 4-3. I think Michigan State's 4-3, Maryland's 4-3. I mean, and that's what happens. You get 18 teams in a league. There's going to be a bunch of muddle in the middle, as I would call it. And right now the Gophers are in that. And I don't want to say it's acceptable. You'd love to challenge for a conference title. That clearly is not going to happen this year. But it's okay. I mean, that's a spot that in this new age Big Ten, people are going to have to get used to it, that there's going to be a bunch of teams in this middle. And that's a better place to be than, I mean, obviously you'd like to be on top, but in 18 teams, you don't want to be Purdue right now, right? I mean, you don't want to be, I'm trying to think who else is down there.
Northwestern.
Northwestern hasn't been very good. They, you know, so it's all right. And it doesn't take but a week or two to move yourself up or down out of that muddle in the middle. And every game is a challenge now. There is no, you know, Big Ten basketball, it kind of turned into this for a minute where there is no get well game, right? You know, and, you know, look, there's been some years where Minnesota's been that get well game for teams, right? In both football and basketball. And that isn't the case this year. It doesn't mean teams aren't capable of beating Minnesota, but that's not a game where Maryland's saying, oh, well, this will be an easy one. We're just going to fly into Minneapolis, get a win, and waltz out of town. I think I saw the Gophers are, what, a 4 or 5 point favorite, something like that?
I haven't even checked.
Yeah, so it's not a, you know, it's one of those. This is what the Big Ten's about now. There's going to be we talked about it from day one, right? There's going to be a bunch of close games that Minnesota's going to be a touchdown or less favorite or a touchdown or less underdog, and this Saturday's the same. So, yeah, I think they're just right in the middle, and I think that we can live with that. I think that's all right. And you keep winning, and maybe you work your way up the ladder a little bit.
I have a question about the overlapping Big Ten and what the Gophers and how they compete like moving forward here. But I do want to get to a Maryland question if we have time. But I think I'd rather ask this question here to you, Mike. I saw a statistic here, and the Gophers have the 43rd ranked class right now going into 2025, which isn't bad. And for the Gophers' sake, it's pretty good, I would say. But nine 5-star recruits are going to Oregon or Ohio State. The rest of the Big Ten combines for zero 5-star recruits. How does Minnesota try and compete in the new age of college football? How does Minnesota try and compete with the Oregons and Ohio State when it feels nearly impossible to actually do that in recruiting?
You're right. I don't even think you have to say new age. I think this has been going on for a minute.
That's true.
You know, the day that, at the point in which Ohio State got Urban Meyer and Michigan went and got Jim Harbaugh, it changed everything because now the recruiting at Ohio State picked up. I think they've been a top five recruiting class pretty much every year for about 15 years now, maybe 12. I'm trying to remember exactly when Meyer got hired there, and it changed things certainly. And look, Tressel won a national title there too. So that's kind of always been the case. So that's always been the question. Gopher fans, and for that matter, other schools, right? I mean, Urban Meyer was something like, I want to say he was something like 70-3 in Big Ten games. And and here's a weird thing. I think I read this. He underachieved. He was favored in all but two Big Ten games he coached in his career, and he lost three of them. So he actually lost a game. He lost one game where he was a favorite in. Otherwise, everything else he won. It may be four or five games, whatever it was. It's like 77-5 or whatever. The question is, I don't think they are going to beat him. I really don't. And is that a fatalist approach? I suppose. Could it be, though, that on a given day, maybe some stuff goes your way? That's what you got to hope for. And the other thing is, now with the 12-team playoff, there's an opportunity where you don't have to be better than them to have your shot to win it, right? You can be the second best and most years the third best team in the Big Ten and still get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a year where you could be the fourth best team. That could be this year. There could be four Big Ten teams that go to the playoffs. I think it'll be three, but I think there's also not a zero chance that a fourth team from the Big Ten could get in, depending on how it all goes. And if the SEC ends up beating everybody, I mean, SEC has like 9 teams with one loss still, but a whole bunch of those guys are playing each other here for the final stretch of the season. So I think the answer is, it's hard. Hard. I don't know if there's an answer to say, consistently. Could on a given year you pull the upset, of course, and that's what you hope happens. And what you really got to hope happens is, here's my theory, Jake, at a place now like Minnesota in today's day and age of NIL, the transfer portal, and everything else, because Minnesota can benefit from some of this. In football especially, I think they've been decent in retaining their roster and going out and they've found a little niche in targeting kids at the lower level that they think can translate into the higher level. And they've been successful with a bunch of those kids now the last 3 or 4 years. So I think the hope is that you play really good football. You make good bowl games most years. And maybe once every 10 years you make a run at, at a championship. And I know there are people listening like, no, well, why even do it? Why even try? Well, that's the landscape we're in. So if we can't accept that reality, this isn't going to be a program, quite frankly. I don't care if Nick Saban's hired here. There isn't a this isn't going to be a program that's just going to be able to say, hey, you know, we're going to roll out and win Big Ten titles every year. I think it'll be a bigger adjustment for people at Wisconsin, probably. I know you've got Wisconsin listeners, certainly. Mm-hmm. People from Iowa that have had some success at a high level. This is a different ballgame now with 18 teams. As I mentioned, though, the good news is the path to the playoff for teams like Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, even Nebraska, lump them in there, is maybe a tick easier. You can be the third best team in the league and you're going to make the playoffs probably. So it's a long kind of convoluted thing, but we're in kind of a long convoluted time frame in college football right now, right?
No question about it. My philosophy there is if you're good enough to believe you have a chance, then that's probably good enough for the schools like Wisconsin, like Minnesota, like Iowa. Yep. Good enough to have a chance is fine enough with me. That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers, Leo Field Radio Sports Network. Catch him right here on the Winona Sports Network coming up Saturday afternoon, 2:35. Mike, as always, a pleasure. Appreciate your time. Great to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Always great, Jake, and look forward to chatting next week.